ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 5, చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ కర్మయోగ, యాక్షన్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1. అర్జున ఉవాచ, సన్యాసం కర్మణాం కృష్ణ పునర్యోగం చ శంససి యచ్రేయ ఏతయోరేకం తన్మే బ్రూహి సునిష్టితం. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? Purport: In this fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that work in devotional service is better than dry mental speculation. Devotional service is easier than the latter because, being transcendental in nature, it frees one from reaction. In the second chapter, preliminary knowledge of the soul and its entanglement in the material body were explained. How to get out of this material engagement by Buddha Yoga or devotional service was also explained therein. In the third chapter, it was explained that a person who is situated on the platform of knowledge no longer has any duties to perform. And in the fourth chapter, the Lord told Arjuna that all kinds of sacrificial work culminate in knowledge. However, at the end of the fourth chapter, the Lord advised Arjuna to wake up and fight, being situated in perfect knowledge. Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work in devotion and inaction in knowledge, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination. Arjuna understands that renunciation in knowledge involves cessation of all kinds of work performed as sense activities. But if one performs work in devotional service, then how is work stopped? In other words, he thinks that sannyas or renunciation in knowledge should be altogether free from all kinds of activity, because work and renunciation appear to him to be incompatible. He appears not to have understood that work in full knowledge is non-reactive and is therefore the same as inaction. He inquires therefore whether he should cease work altogether or work with full knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So welcome the guests and devotees for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are beginning a new chapter, chapter 5. Chapter 5 is entitled as Karma Yoga or Action in Krishna Consciousness. So in this chapter, Arjuna is first asking a question to Lord Krishna. So we can learn a very interesting point. So if you see this Bhagavad Gita, it is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So Arjuna asks several questions and then Krishna answers. So one thing we can understand is that spiritual life is not something like we have to follow something blindly. It's not that, you have to just something follow blindly without deliberating upon it. Spiritual life is something which we can inquire. If we have some doubts, we can ask some questions, then we can get clarified. Ultimately, one should know that nobody can actually force you to follow something. Even God cannot force a living entity to surrender unto Him. Like, He can force, but then He does not force, because He has given the free will to every living entity. So nobody can force you to follow something. So spirituality also, although we may speak and then etc., but it's ultimately up to you to whether to take up the spiritual practices. So we actually very much encourage that before taking up a particular thing, whatever doubts you have, you can get clarified. Just like Arjuna is asking questions and then Krishna is answering, and then again Arjuna doesn't get convinced, and then he again asks a question, and then Krishna again answers. So that is why we see in the Bhagavad Gita, after speaking the entire Gita, Krishna is saying, Iti guhyat. He says, Vimrishyetad aseshena yate chasi tatakuru. He says, Isite jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya Vimrishyetad aseshena yate chasi tatakuru. Krishna says, I have given the most confidential knowledge to you. Isite jnanam akhyatam. Among the more confidential knowledge, I have given the most confidential knowledge to you. Now you deliberate on this knowledge and then you decide whatever you want to do. So Krishna is giving the freedom to Arjuna, and especially Krishna is saying that you deliberate on what I have spoken. Krishna doesn't say that you just fight or something. Krishna is telling Arjuna to think and then decide. In fact, Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Adyeshyate cha ya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo. He says, one who studies this sacred conversation which happened between me and Arjuna with his intelligence, such a person is actually worshipping me with his intelligence. So again we see that Krishna is recommending a living entity to study this conversation which happened between him and Arjuna with his intelligence. He does not recommend blind following. So in this way we see various places in the Gita, Krishna never recommends blind following. Both absurd inquiry and blind following are condemned in the Gita. So some of you may be aware, there is a scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, the sages at Naimisharanya, they ask 6 questions to the speaker who is present in the assembly, who is known as Suta Goswami. So after hearing the questions by these sages, Suta Goswami says, Munayas sadhu prishtoham bhavad birloka mangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. So Suta Goswami is actually congratulating the sages. He is saying, oh great sages, you have asked wonderful questions. Very good, well done. You asked very wonderful questions. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir loka mangalam. Why these questions are wonderful? because these questions will actually do welfare for the whole universe. Bhavadbir Loka Mangalam. This will create auspiciousness for the whole universe. Why it will create auspiciousness for the whole universe? Because these questions are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Yatkrita Krishna Samprashnu. And not only this will create auspiciousness for the whole world, this will completely satisfy the soul, self. Yenatma Suprasidati. So, Prabhupada writes a very wonderful purport. He says, actually, the whole world is simply filled with questions and answers. When the birds and animals, when they get up in the morning, they ask some questions or they give some answers. And then they go outside to search for some food. Then they come back in the evening. Again they ask some questions or give some answers. Human beings, right from the morning, except when we are sleeping, we are simply doing one of these activities, either asking questions or giving answers. Even when we get up in the morning, we put an alarm clock. Alarm rings. And then we ask the question, should I get up or not? So right from the morning, we are simply actually asking some question or answer. So we come with it. Think, should I go to the temple and take darshan? Then we come for darshan. Should I sit for the lecture and hear? Or should I go back? So, at every moment we are either asking some question or giving some answers. Politicians, they are asking some question. Legislators, should we make this law? Will this do good for the living entity or not? Will this do good for the public? Or will it benefit me? And the press reporters, they ask the politicians some questions and then they give some answer. In this way we see businessmen, they ask some question, today what is the stock? How is the stock market going? What is the rate of this stock? So they are asking some question and they are getting some answer. So in this way, practically, we cannot stop even one moment without asking question or giving some answer. So the whole world is filled with asking questions and answers. But then, when we ask questions on material subject matters, they never satisfy the self. When there are magazines, there are big celebrities, they ask some questions, then they get the answers. So what is your favorite soap? What is your favorite activity? What is your favorite hobby? So basically everything is filled with questions and answers, but because these questions and subject matters are not related to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they never satisfy the self. Does anybody want to, is anybody eager to read about the newspaper of April month? Oh, please give me that newspaper. I want to read the news of April 20th. Does somebody come and ask the newspaper wala? No, they want like the day, today's newspaper, latest magazine, etc. Why there are like everyday newspapers are there? Because people are, when they read newspaper, like they never satisfied. They want newer and newer news. So these subject matters, they never satisfy the self. But when persons ask question related to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it actually perfectly satisfies the living entity. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Gopal ji ki jai. Not only these questions satisfy the self, but they also create auspiciousness for the whole world. Bhavadbir Loka Mangalam. People are concerned about the welfare of the world, isn't it? People talk about world peace. How to create peace? United Nations, Prabhupada said. They call it as United Nations, but why there are many flags? There should be only one flag, isn't it? Why there are more flags? So people talk about peace, but then they can hardly actually create peace. It's not at all possible when the center is not, when people do not have a common center, when people do not have a common center as God, then whatever attempts to create peace will be actually, will actually result in failure only. So, but when people discuss about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this will not only satisfy the self, but it will create auspiciousness for the whole world. So even if a person does not have questions about Krishna or spiritual subject matters, the best questions have been already asked in the history. And the best answers have been already given. All one has to do is, one has to simply refer to those best questions which have been asked by the people. And then one has to refer to the answers for those best questions. So these scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, in this Bhagavad Gita, best questions have been already asked. Like Arjuna is asking so many questions and Krishna is answering. Even if we do not have questions and answers, if we simply refer to these questions and answers, we can actually derive complete satisfaction and it will create auspiciousness in our own life, it will create auspiciousness in others' life also. So here, Arjuna is asking a question. First of all, you ask me to renounce work. And then, again you recommend work with devotion. So now please tell me, which is actually better, which is more beneficial. So why does actually Arjuna ask this question? So one reason is, actually Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna. He knows what is the real purpose of life. He knows what is the goal of life. But then, he is asking these questions for our benefit. In fact, Krishna personally puts Arjuna in the state of bewilderment so that Arjuna can ask these questions in order that he can speak the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of the whole humanity for all time to come. Just like suppose, a Bollywood superstar, say, Shah Rukh Khan, suppose he is acting in a movie or something. Suppose he is acting in a role of some ordinary worker. So he has to wear a pant which has some holes, and act. So in that case, he will not wear some old pant. He will buy a new pant and then they will deliberately make holes and then he will wear that pant. So similarly, when Krishna wants to speak Bhagavad Gita, in order to speak Gita, there has to be an audience. There has to be a hearer who has to be in the state of bewilderment. See, when Krishna wants to speak, he will not speak to any Tom, Dick and Harry, any ordinary conditioned soul. So he will put his own devotee into the state of bewilderment and then he will make his devotee ask question and then he will answer the question. Just like an actor when he wants to act in a role of an ordinary coolie or someone, he will not wear a old pant, he will wear a new pant, make hole and then wear it. So Arjuna is asking question for our own benefit. Another example is, when the mother-in-law wants to teach a lesson to the daughter-in-law, she will tell the daughter actually. She will tell, oh, do not do like this, you have to do clean the room in this way, not in that way. Although the daughter is not making any mistake, she will actually teach the daughter-in-law through the daughter. Similarly, Krishna speaks the Gita for the benefit of the whole humanity through his own devotee Arjuna. So we should never get confused that Arjuna is actually confused. So it is not, after all, Arjuna is supposed to hear this, because he is only confused person. I don't have any of these questions. I don't have to hear Gita. No. Krishna is actually speaking this Gita for us through Arjuna. So, in this verse, Arjuna is basically having this confusion. So previously, Krishna recommended two things in the previous chapters. One thing he recommended was knowledge. In the fourth chapter he said, all the sacrifices culminate in knowledge. The purpose of all the sacrifices is to ultimately develop transcendental knowledge. He spoke about the glories of transcendental knowledge. He said, when you develop transcendental knowledge, then when a person does an activity, he will not be implicated in those activities. He will not get any reaction. And the transcendental knowledge is like a fire that burns up all the fuel which is supplied to it. Similarly, the transcendental knowledge burns all the sinful reactions. So for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So any activity we do, we are supposed to get some reaction. But then when a person develops transcendental knowledge, all these reactions will be nullified. In this way, Krishna glorified in various places about the transcendental knowledge. In the third chapter, he said, when a person is situated in transcendental knowledge, when a person is satisfied in the self, then he does not have any duties to perform. So Krishna apparently actually glorified transcendental knowledge. He said, when a person has transcendental knowledge, he does not have to work. He does not have any duties to perform. But then at the end of that fourth chapter, the last verse of the fourth chapter, he said, Tasmat ajnana sambhutam hristam jnana sinatmanaha chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtotishta bharata. He said that therefore the doubts which have arisen in your heart should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge, and O Arjuna, get up and fight. So Krishna glorified so much about transcendental knowledge in a way that when a person is situated in transcendental knowledge, he does not have any duties to perform. So Arjuna thought, okay, I am in the, ultimately I have to develop transcendental knowledge, so I don't have to fight. I don't have any duties to perform if I simply develop this knowledge. But at the end of the fourth chapter, Krishna said, no, you have to get up and fight. That is your duty. So Arjuna again became confused. So what is, like, Krishna is recommending, Krishna is saying that ultimately everything culminates in knowledge. When a person is situated in knowledge, one does not have to perform any duties. At the same time, Krishna is saying, okay, you get up and fight, you do your work. So what should I do? Krishna is recommending both. So that's why Arjuna gets confused. He's asking, so which is actually beneficial for me? Please tell me decisively which is more beneficial, whether karma yoga or work in devotion or jnana yoga. Jnana yoga is basically renunciation of work. So which is beneficial? So actually, Arjuna is thinking that both are different paths. But actually, karma yoga and jnana yoga, they are not two different paths. They are actually like two rungs on a ladder. They are leading to the same path, same goal, same destination. Just like in a ladder, like all the rungs in the different ladder, they ultimately lead to the same goal, same destination. So similarly, karma yoga and jnana yoga, they are basically two rungs on the ladder. When a person is attached to activity, then he should perform karma yoga. Whatever action, whatever activity is attached, he should perform the activity, but he should perform the activity in a spirit of devotion to the Lord. But when a person is not attached to the activity, when a person is not attached to doing something, so then he can actually give up work. Then he is recommended. That means he is in a higher stage. He has the required purification of heart. Then he can give up the work and then he can take to Jnana Yoga. He can give up the work and directly just simply engage in Krishna conscious activities. But then when a person's heart is not purified, when a person is attached to certain activities, then he should perform the activity in the spirit of devotion. But when a person artificially stops the activities, does not perform the activities, or when he renounces the activities without the required purification of the heart, then although he may renounce activities, but then later on he will be forced to do the activity. Krishna said, Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtat akarma krad karyate hyavashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunai. So if you renounce the activity, if you renounce all actions artificially without the required purification of heart, you may renounce for a time being, but then after some time you will be forced to do the activity again. Like Krishna said, like you are a Kshatriya, if you renounce the act of fighting, you may lead the life of a renunciant, but then when you beg for food, somebody will not give food, somebody may insult you, and then because you have the Kshatriya nature, again it will come up and then you will take up the sword and then you may try to fight the person. So that nature is inbuilt, so that will come up again. So better to act according to your nature, but in the spirit of devotion, in the spirit of detachment and having the knowledge that ultimately Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I have to do this activity but offer the results to Krishna. So this is Karma Yoga, work in devotion. So the point is that, just like a simple example, like actually, the as I said, with the Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, both lead to the same goal. Just like for example, a person may be in a country, he may not be breaking any rules and regulations. And then, that is like a simply jnani who is simply interested in knowledge. He may not have devotion to the Supreme Lord. But he may be just sense controlled. He may be following all the rules and regulations according to the scripture. But a karma yogi or a person who is working, a jnani, he may not do any work, but then he may not have devotion to the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, a person who works, but in the spirit of devotion to the Lord, he is like a person, he is like a soldier who is fighting on behalf of the government to the enemy, to the enemies of the country. Although he is actually murdering other people, but he is actually fighting for the country. He is killing so many people, but he is fighting for the country. So his actions are approved by the government. So similarly, a karma yogi, he may be doing so many activities, but a jnani, a simple jnani who does not have any devotion to the Lord, he may not do any activity, he may renounce all activities, but then that is not of much use. On the other hand, a karma yogi is better, because although he does not renounce, although he is doing so many activities, because he is doing the spirit of devotion, so he is better. Just like a person who is actually, he may be killing so many people when there is war on behalf of the government, but then he is rewarded. On the other hand, somebody may be in the country, he may be told to fight, but then he does not fight. But he will be following all the rules and regulations. But who is better? This person who is sacrificing his life for the purpose of the country, he is better. Similarly, a karma yogi is better than a simple jnani. And mere renunciation of activities actually will not solve the problem. Sometimes, like one devotee was giving the example, like sometimes the traditional the Vedic culture, when a lady before she would get married, like she would put turmeric on her body and then make it appear yellow. So sometimes if a person has a little bit of turmeric, how can a person make the whole body yellow with a little bit of turmeric? So it's not possible. So similarly, mere renunciation of activities cannot actually cannot give one freedom from all reaction. Simply by renouncing the activities, it is not possible to get freedom from reaction. Like Krishna said previously, even if a person renounces the activities, he actually, in order to maintain his body, he has to eat something, isn't it? And in order to eat some foodstuff, one has to depend on other living entities. In order to how will a person get food? To get food, rains have to come. Food will grow only when the rains come, and the rains will come only when the demigods are satisfied. So the demigods will be satisfied only when a person performs sacrifices. And the sacrifices are born of prescribed duties. So one has to perform prescribed duties. So even for the simple maintenance of the body, one has to perform certain prescribed duties. So simply by renouncing the activities, one cannot achieve freedom from reaction. Just like with a little bit of turmeric, one cannot make the whole body appear yellow. So, further, the next two verses, Krishna starts replying to Arjuna's question, which is actually better, whether karma yoga or jnana yoga. He says, sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa kara ubhav tayostu karma sannyasa karma yogo vishishyate. Krishna is saying, the renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work and devotional service is better than renunciation of work. So Krishna is saying that renunciation of work and work and devotion, so both are actually good for liberation. Both lead to the same goal, jnana yoga and karma yoga. But of the two, work and devotion is better. Because as a kshatriya, your nature is to fight. You have the nature to administer you have to rule the country. So if you act against the nature, if you simply renounce activities, then it is not good for you. On the other hand, you do your occupational duties of a kshatriya, but in the spirit of devotion. So work and devotion service is better than renunciation of work. So Prabhupada is writing a nice purport. So first of all, Prabhupada is saying that how fruitive activities, they actually cause bondage for a living entity. So every living entity, when he is engaged in fruitive activities means when he is engaged in an activity with a desire for enjoying the fruits of work, so then that will actually cause bondage. So a person, a devotee of the Lord, and a person who is not on the spiritual path, both may be engaged in same kind of activity, but then there is a difference. A person who is actually not a devotee of the Lord, who does not work in a spirit of devotion, he is attached to the fruits of activity. But when a person, a devotee of the Lord, who is working in a spirit of devotion, he is not attached to the fruits of the activity. So when a person is attached to the fruits of the activity, that causes bondage, so that will give some reaction. It may be a good reaction or bad reaction. But in the ultimate sense, whether good reaction or bad reaction, both are bad. Why? Because in order to enjoy the reaction, one has to take birth in this material world. Taking birth in the material world means one has to go through the miseries of birth, old age, disease and death, and miseries from other living entities, from supernatural forces, and from one's own body and mind. So one cannot avoid these miseries. So whether, even if one has to enjoy good reactions or bad reactions, both are actually ultimately bad. So that is why fruitive activities, they cause bondage for a living entity. So as long as a person is engaged in the fruitive activities, then he will transmigrate from one species to another species. One body to another body. So in this way he is actually transmigrating through this 84 lakh species of life. So we have got this human form of life after going through this 84 lakh species of life. So it is a very rare opportunity that we have to take to spiritual life in this life, in this very lifetime. Many times when we actually advise a person, so why don't you take to spirituality now? They say, okay, no, I will take to spirituality in my old age after getting retired. But then, so there is a nice example in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, it's another scripture which we are referring to. So before giving the example, so just imagine, suppose you are writing an exam, or preparing for an exam. Suppose the exam is, you are supposed to give an exam in the month of, say, September. So you are thinking, another 4 months are left. So let me just prepare. I'll just spend half an hour a day and then half an hour a day we are preparing. And then lot of time is there. You're thinking, okay, I'll prepare more later. But then you see that there is one of your neighbor, another friend of yours, he is studying intensely. Somehow you come to know his schedule. He is getting up in the morning 4 o'clock, and then he studies for 4 hours in the morning, and then goes for the school. Then he comes back again in the evening. He studies for the 4 hours for the exam, and then you ask the person, which exam are you preparing for? He says, I am preparing for this particular exam. Say JEE, Joint Entrance Examination. And then you ask the question, oh, you are preparing for the exam? Okay. And then he is like, okay, by the way, do you know which is the date of the exam, like that you ask? No, I don't know the dates. I am actually preparing for the exam, JEE exam, which is to be conducted in 2012. I'm going to give exam in 2012, so I'm preparing for that exam. You are completely taken aback. You are going to give the same exam after 4 months back. For that, you hardly show any interest. But then you see some another person, he is preparing for the same exam, but he is going to appear for the exam after 3 years. Yeah. And then he is preparing every day, spending 6 hours a day preparing for the exam. And you are like completely taken aback. Why are you spending so many, you have 3 years to go, and why are you spending so much time on studying for the exam? You are completely taken aback. So similarly, so then you actually realize the seriousness. If this person is preparing for this exam, which is going to give after 3 years, with such hectic schedule, spending 6 hours a day, how much more I should spend, I should study for this exam when I am going to give the exam after 4 months? Does it make sense? So similarly, sometimes we say, oh, you are going to you please take to spirituality, then somebody says, no, I'll take after like 40 years, 50 years, there's a lot of time is there, somebody may say. But then, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva is the leader of the demigods. So he is telling in a famous series of verses called Rudra Geet. So he is speaking, Kastvat Padabjam Vijahati Pandito Yasteva Manav Vyayamana Ketana Vishankayasmad Gunararchatismayad Vinopapattim Manavaschaturdasha. So what is the translation of the verse? Lord Shiva is saying, my dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unless he worships you, Krishna, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, such a learned person, how can he give up his life? How could he give up his life uselessly in other pursuits? He's saying that any learned person knows that unless he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, or unless he takes a spiritual life, his life is useless. And then he is saying, Vishanka Yasmat Gunar Guru Archatismayat. He says, even our great forefather and our own spiritual master, Lord Brahma, he unhesitatingly worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And not only Lord Brahma, even the Manus, the progenitors of mankind, the leaders of mankind, they also worshipped you. So it is very interesting. So here Lord Shiva is saying, even Lord Brahma and the Manus, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead unhesitatingly. So let me give a small information of the life of Lord Brahma, lifespan. Lord Brahma's lifespan is, Lord Brahma's lifetime is equal to, Lord Brahma's one day is equal to 1,000 Divya Yugas. So one Divya Yuga is basically the cycle of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. If you take it as X, Dwapar Yuga is 2X, Treta Yuga is 3X, and Satya Yuga is 4X. So 4X plus 3X plus 2X plus X is 10X. So one Divya Yuga is 43,20,000 years. And Brahma's one day is equal to 1,000 Divya Yugas. So 43,20,000 years multiplied by 1,000. And Brahma's night is same amount of Brahma's day. And Brahma has a lifespan of 100 years. So when Brahma has such a long lifespan, but then he is feeling that he is actually fearful of the death, and then he is engaging in spiritual life, he is engaging in devotional service to the Lord unhesitatingly. He is utilizing every moment in the devotional service of the Lord. Just imagine, Lord Brahma, who has such a long lifespan, he is engaging in devotional service moment to moment. Then what to speak of human beings like you and me? We hardly have 50 years or 60 years. We don't know when we are going to die. How much more it is important for us to take to spirituality at this moment? How can we waste even one moment? Already we have wasted so many years of our life. So when we see such great personalities like Lord Brahma and the Manus, not only Lord Brahma, when we say, okay, Lord Brahma maybe is like too fearful. He's having a psychic problem. When we say like that. But then even the Manus, the 14 Manus, they also have a long lifespan. Their life duration is 14 Divya Yugas. not 14, I think. They also have long lifespan. Even they are engaging in devotional service. Then what to speak of human beings? How much more it is important that we have that we should become serious in our spiritual life. Just like the example of the person, somebody is giving exam. After 3 years, he is studying 6 hours a day. The demigods have a long lifespan, but they are engaged in spiritual life. So in this human life, we have got this very rare opportunity. So we have to make use of this opportunity. I will just take few minutes. So then further, Srila Prabhupada is saying, so Krishna is basically saying this verse, that work and devotion is actually better than renunciation of work. So then further Prabhupada talks, and actually, what is actually real renunciation? Real renunciation is not simply renouncing the activities. In fact, we have nothing to renounce because everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Ishavasyam idam sarvam etkincha jagatyam chagat. Everything which is animate and inanimate is actually belongs to the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a living entity cannot be called a renouncer in the true sense of the term because nothing belongs to him. If you have something, you can renounce, isn't it? Because everything belongs to the Lord, actually we have nothing to renounce. Whatever we have, we simply have to utilize in the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada quotes in the purport, he says, prapanchi kataya buddhya hari sambandhi vasuna. When a person renounces something which is actually related to Krishna, but then he renounces saying that it is material, when he does not utilize in the service of the Lord, it is actually incomplete renunciation. Real renunciation is to use everything in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada, one devotee told Prabhupada, he told a newspaper cutting, in the newspaper, there was one person, one sadhu was given lot of money. So this sadhu was saying, no, I don't want money, like that. The newspaper photo was there. Prabhupada said, you should take a picture saying that people, when people, somebody gives some money, I actually embrace the money with both my hands. So Prabhupada said, we are not against using the money, because everything belongs to the Lord. This sadhu, what he is doing is, he is having incomplete renunciation. Somebody is giving the money, he is rejecting the money and not utilizing the service of God. But if somebody gives me the money, I will embrace it with both my hands and then utilize in the service of the Lord. So that is real renunciation. That is called Yukta Vairagya. So, once Prabhupada came to Delhi, in the airport, so Tejas Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, came to offer garland to Prabhupada. So before even he could offer the garland, Prabhupada said, have you transferred the money to the book fund? Something like that, he asked. So he was completely taken aback. He was just meeting first time, and then Prabhupada was talking about money. So externally it may appear that Srila Prabhupada was attached to money. But then he was actually utilizing the money in the service of God. Prabhupada was one mayor came to meet Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. So Prabhupada was, just some time back somebody gave a lot of donation to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was counting the money. That mayor got completely bewildered. What is this sadhu, he is counting the money? And then simultaneously Prabhupada was speaking perfect philosophy. So that is actually real renunciation. To utilize everything in the service of the Lord. So there are many examples. Like once Srila Prabhupada was in the Radha Raspikari temple in his quarters in Juhu. So one devotee called Mr. Sethi, he was helping in the construction of the Juhu temple. So Prabhupada was asking to the devotees, telling that, asking him, like, why are you not able to come for the morning program? Like, we have the morning program. Like, why don't you come for the morning program? He said, no, I live little far away. I can't come for the morning program. So Prabhupada said, no, then you can just move with your own family and come and live in my quarters. If you have seen the Prabhupada quarters in Juhu, it is one of the very opulent place. Each wood is like very costly teak wood and such like intricate carving. It's like a very posh like area. So his Prabhupada said, no, you move to my quarters and then I will move out of I will reside somewhere else so that you can at least attend the morning program. So this is actually real renunciation. And then further in the next verse, in the third verse, Krishna is further saying that one who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty armed Arjuna. So he is saying, when a person does not hate, neither hates nor desires the fruits of activities, such a person is actually always renounced. Such a person is free from all dualities, he overcomes all material bondage and he achieves liberation. So, few examples we will take that how Srila Prabhupada was completely, he neither hated nor he desired the fruits of his activities. Because one may think, oh, this is just philosophy, we cannot practice, one may say like that. But then, we have a living example in amongst souls also, many devotees are advanced, they are also in the platform. But we have a living example. The founder of in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, exhibited these qualities to the highest extent. Like once, the New York devotees had arranged a big program in an auditorium. They had done massive publicity. They expected lot of hundreds of people. But then, only 7 people came for the program. It was a big auditorium, only 7 people came. So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada gave the whole lecture with full enthusiasm. Then devotees said at the end, oh, we are very sorry, Srila Prabhupada, that we could not actually, very few people came. And Prabhupada said, didn't you see, Narada Muni was there, Sukadeva Goswami was there, so many, Rupa Goswami was there, like that he was saying. So, although the result was only 7 people came, Prabhupada was completely detached. He was not into the result. Once, in the beginning days of ISKCON, they had just bought a property in Los Angeles. They had bought a church and they had converted it into a temple. So, one of the beginning programs, they had actually, the devotees had given invitations to many press reporters. They had arranged for a press conference in the evening. So devotees had cooked feast for hundreds of people. But for the program, only 1 press reporter came. Again, Prabhupada spoke with great enthusiasm. Again, at the end, devotees said, we are very sorry, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we could not, only 1 reporter came. We made a mistake. We should have arranged the program in the daytime. Because daytime is like working hour for the press reporters, more reporters could have come. Because of our mistake, we arranged in the evening time and only 1 person came. And Prabhupada said, no, don't feel discouraged. We are not against getting praises from hundreds of people. We are interested in getting certificate from Krishna. Although so many people didn't come, I don't mind. What matters is our effort. So here again we see how Srila Prabhupada was completely detached. Although he did with full enthusiasm, he preached with full enthusiasm, he was not attached to the results. So in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so there is a verse which says, a saintly person is like a ocean. See, ocean, during the rainy season, like lot of rivers which are actually, rivers are filled with water in the rainy season, they actually enter the ocean. And the summer season, the rivers hardly have any water. Rivers are completely dried up. And then, so in the, just because in the rainy season, rivers enter the ocean, that ocean does not swell up. And also in the summer season, just because that rivers do not contain any water, ocean does not get dried up. So similarly, a saintly person, a person who works in the spirit of devotion to the Supreme Lord, sometimes he gets lot of material opulence. Sometimes, like wonderful results come, he gets lot of material opulence, but then he does not get, like, he does not rejoice in getting those material opulence. And sometimes everything is taken away. He goes through so much of emotional turmoil, but then he does not lament, he does not become morose. So that is what is Prabhupada, Krishna is talking about. He is free from all dualities. So in this way, we see that when a person works in the spirit of devotion, he does not desire for the fruits of activities, and then nor does he hate if some bad results come. In this way, being freed from the dualities, he actually ultimately achieves liberation, ultimately goes back to garden. So in this way, work and devotion is better, because all of us are attached to certain activity, but we can do the activity in the spirit of devotion. And there is no risk of falling down. If a person simply renounces the activities, but then the desires are there, and then they will trouble the living entity. So only a person is like on a Nirjal Ekadashi, when a person is fasting, like suppose you have to tell somebody to guard, like lot of prasadam, lot of foodstuff is kept somewhere. You don't want anybody to take. So if you have to tell somebody to guard those foodstuffs, then you have to tell a person who is actually fasting or who does not have any interest in the food. Only when such a person guards those foodstuffs, then he can actually guard. Otherwise, if somebody else guards, he himself will end up eating more. So similarly, when a person has many desires, then better to, when a person has attachment to activities, so better to engage in the activities in the spirit of devotion, instead of artificially renouncing the activities. So that is the whole point Prabhupada, Krishna is talking about this verses. Already gone way beyond time. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.